Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we've been thinking together in the Gospel of John. I've tried to teach this very slowly and very carefully. Even though the number of messages will be very long, it is very important that we understand the teachings of this book, and so we haven't tried to skip from passage to passage. We've tried to examine each section very, very carefully to understand its truth. And the reason we need to understand this is because the teachings in John provide the foundations for our faith that will take us to heaven, our faith in living our lives here on the earth. And if this foundation is not there, then we have no faith, we have no salvation, we have no hope of eternal life. So these two things that are especially taught in this book, which are the foundations for our faith, are first of all the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus God or is he not God? Does he have the power and the authority and the ability to save people from their sins, or does he not? And the answer is very clearly given in the Gospel of John, that the Lord Jesus is God. He is God the Son. He came down from the presence of the Father. He's existed for all eternity. He helped create the world. John very clearly teaches this in John 1, 1-18. He helped create the world. He was in every sense God. And so the Lord Jesus is indeed God. He has the power and the ability and the authority to save us from our sins. And the second thing is, he provides a salvation for us. In other words, he came to die on the cross for our sins, and through his death we can be saved from our sins, providing we come to him in the right manner. Now, some come to him in a very religious way. In other words, they say, yes, I believe in Jesus. But the problem is they're depending upon everyone else and everything else to also help save them from their sins. You cannot treat the Lord Jesus like this. The Lord Jesus himself made it very clear that he exclusively is the way to heaven. There is no one else, there is nothing else that we can do that will help take us to heaven. So it's not through baptism, it's not through the sacraments in the churches of some of you, it's not through someone to whom you might pray. It's no one else and nothing else will help take you to heaven. The Lord Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so these two themes in the book are very important, and this is why we've spent so much time discussing this book. Now, as we've gone through this book, we have tried to examine it very closely, each of the sections of the book. We talked about the introduction to the book, verses 1 to 18 in chapter 1, and we talked about a time of consideration when people were not so much opposing the Lord as they were simply considering, who is this one, what are his claims, and what will I do about them? Then we went into a time of controversy, when the Lord Jesus had to debate with the Jewish leaders especially his person, who he was and why he had come. And then we came to a period of crisis when many have already made up their minds concerning him. Now there's open opposition to him. Many have made up their minds. Some have decided to believe in him. We find this in chapter 12, even among the leaders. But most of the leaders of the Jews have denied him. They've rejected him. They refused to come to him. No matter what he would say or what he would do, they would not trust him. So after chapter 12, the Lord Jesus retires for a time with his disciples. Now this would be just about 15 to 18 hours before he would be crucified. In fact, probably about 15 hours before he would be crucified. Probably about 6 o'clock in the evening, the night before his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus goes into the upper room. And there he wants to teach and communicate with his followers. These men were not very spiritual. I've talked about this. So there's a long period there, chapters 13 through 17, when the Lord Jesus is teaching them and conferring with them and communicating with them their need to be the spiritual men that would be required for the preaching of the gospel. And so the Lord Jesus has his long period of conference, we call it. And then we come to the time of consummation. This is when the Lord Jesus now has left the upper room. He's still considering his conference with them. They're making their way very, very slowly to the Garden of Gethsemane. That would be the place where the betrayal would take place, where he would be seized by the soldiers after Judas betrays him. But on the way, he continues to teach them, and then he prays to the Father, perhaps even before he gets to the garden. Then when he gets into the garden, as the soldiers are approaching, Jesus himself is praying to the Father for strength to go through the coming ordeal of the trial and the suffering and finally the crucifixion. He's praying to the Father for help and also for help for these disciples. He's praying that these disciples will be sustained as well. And now we've come in to the trial, and we talked about his trial before the high priest and the council of the Jews, and then his trial before Pilate himself. And then we talked about the crucifixion, the nature of the crucifixion, the fact that it was the literal shedding of his blood. He not only suffered for us, but he shed his blood completely for our sins. And finally, we talked about the burial, the fact that Nicodemus had joined Joseph of Arimathea in burying the Lord Jesus. I want to come today to the study of the resurrection. I'm not sure I can finish it just in this one message, but I want to come to the subject of the resurrection, because this is a very important part of the teaching concerning the Lord Jesus. In other words, would death conquer him? Would he be forever in the grave? Or would he win the victory over the grave and literally rise from the dead, physically rise from the dead? Although in a glorified body, he would still rise from the dead. Now, there have been many false ideas. This is going to be chapter 20, verses 1 to 31 now. There have been many false ideas about the resurrection of the Lord. And these ideas, of course, deny the truth of his literal resurrection. Some believe that it was only a spiritual resurrection. Some of the liberal teachers in the so-called Christian church teach this. It was only a spiritual resurrection. They would say that the Lord's Spirit came to life, but it did not involve a physical life coming to life. In other words, a physical body coming to life and a person coming out of the grave, a literal physical person coming out of the grave. And so this, is, of course, is a denial of the Lord Jesus and a denial of the truth concerning his resurrection. Now, the scriptures are very clear. There was a physical raising of the Lord Jesus. Other people believe that the Lord never truly died as a result of the crucifixion and that he simply recovered from it and lived again for a time. And that's why there could be him walking around alive again, because he never really died. No, the scriptures are very clear. He completely died on the cross. And in fact, his blood was completely poured out when they pierced his side. I talked about this in the last message. In other words, his death was absolutely complete. He had died, and he was buried, and he was in the grave for several days before the resurrection. Others believe that his body was stolen from the grave, and some even believe that he is buried in some sacred city of their religion. I don't want to speak against this particular religion today, but some believe that Jesus was simply a prophet, not as great as their prophet, and he's buried even in their sacred city, and that their grave could be found. So there are various false ideas concerning his resurrection. The question would be, what was the true nature of the resurrection of the Lord? I want to discuss this a little bit with you before we go on to the events surrounding the resurrection. First of all, the Lord truly died on the cross. I want to repeat this again and again. He truly died on the cross. He truly bore our sins on the cross. He truly was separated from the Father for a time by his death on the cross, because our sins were laid upon him there. So his death was real, and it was absolutely complete. And he was dead. He was in the grave for that period of time. There was no possibility of his body being stolen and taken away, because he was guarded by the soldiers there. The Jewish leaders had made very clear that there would be guards around him, so there'd be no possibility of his body being taken away by his disciples, no possibility of it being stolen. And so the guards were there, and they were doing their job. Now, his resurrection, another truth we learn, his resurrection was a literal physical resurrection from the dead, in every sense of the word. His body came forth. It could be seen and touched. It could eat and do everything that a physical body could do, and it could be communicated with. As he could walk down the road with the followers of his who were on their road to Emmaus. He could talk with his disciples. He could eat with them there in the beach in chapter 21. And so in every way, it was a physical body. And the Lord was seen in that body by his followers, even as he ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1. He ascended to heaven in their sight, and he still has that body in heaven. In other words, they could actually reach in and they could touch his side. They could touch the wounds in his hand. Thomas doubted, for instance. We'll talk about Thomas a little bit later. But Thomas doubted concerning his resurrection. And the Lord Jesus told him, reach out and touch me, in other words, because you can actually see it in my body. You can actually touch it. Now, this is what I want to say. His body was changed so that it no longer had any physical weakness or physical needs. In other words, his body is now an eternal body that will not age or die again, even though he still has the marks of the wounds in his body. This body is not sick. It's not in any weakness. It has no physical needs of any kind. And our bodies at the coming of the Lord, I don't want to get into this subject except very, very briefly to touch on it. Our bodies at the coming of the Lord and our being caught up together with him will also have a similar nature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 54, it speaks of the eternal nature of the body we will have when Jesus raises us from the dead. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, he's telling the people there that they're not to grieve over their dead loved ones, because someday the resurrection is going to come, and as they will see their loved ones again. There will be a resurrection from the dead. The graves will be opened. A glorified body will come out of those graves. And these glorified bodies will be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. How wonderful this truth is for us today. And so what we're noting is that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was a literal bodily resurrection. It was not something that was just spirit or anything like that. And it wasn't simply that Jesus had not died and that Jesus simply had regained strength again. The resurrection really took place. He rose from the dead. Now, this is what the Lord Jesus himself promised on a number of occasions. You see this in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. You see it in Mark chapter 9, verse 31. You see it in Mark chapter 10, verse 34. And in many other passages, the Lord Jesus had said that he would not only die on the cross, but he would also be raised again from the dead. And so this truth has to be accepted by those who truly have trusted him as their Savior. In other words, it's not something that is just a myth or just a story. It really happened. Now, Jesus himself had the power to raise other people from the dead. But then, in the grave, he himself was raised from the dead to live again. His soul and spirit, of course, had not died, but his body had died. And he was literally raised from the dead. Now, we're going to continue this in the next message. I want to notice that one of the main things we notice about the people and events concerning his resurrection is a lack of real belief in this among his disciples and his other followers. In other words, until he actually appeared to them. And I want to talk about this a little bit, why people would not believe, and why people today do not believe in the resurrection. But many of the people who were his close followers could not accept the fact that Jesus really would rise from the dead. When he died, in other words, they grieved and they sorrowed because they thought perhaps they would never see him again. So it's very important that when we come to the Lord Jesus, we accept all the facts concerning him, the promises he made, what actually happened. We accept every fact concerning him, and that we reject the things that other people are teaching about him. For instance, in the cult groups, there may be books that say that it happened this way or that way or some other way, but a way that is contrary to what is taught in the Word of God. And I would urge you, if you're a member of a cult group, and I don't want to name those, but you know what I'm talking about when I speak of cult groups, put aside the books that you're following of men and follow instead the book that is given by God, the Bible, the Word of God. In other words, follow the truth of the Word of God itself and rely upon this book to teach you all you need to know. And then if you're a Christian, Don't have doubts in your minds concerning this thing and that thing concerning the Lord Jesus. In other words, trust in the Word of God, that the clear teaching of the Word of God is that Jesus has done everything He said He would do. He's accomplished every purpose of God. He is absolutely our Savior today. We can absolutely trust our lives to Him. No matter what, we can trust Him with our lives. And this is my prayer for each of you, that you will truly come to the Lord Jesus, and then in your faith in the Lord Jesus, you will follow Him with all your hearts, believing everything about Him and trusting Him. Also, that someday He's going to take you to heaven and you will reign in heaven with Him. May the Lord help you.